Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
When I talk closer to it then, Paul.
Hello, listeners, and thank you for tuning in to another week of Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. My usual co-host, Jim Linehan, can't be here today. He's away on a little dad business, as we used to like to say. So I'm going to entertain you to start the week with a little segment that we here at the podcast like to call Patrick's Book Nook.
Welcome to the Book Nook. Look, we have books. And over there, another book. And right over there, it's Kindle?
I want to thank the tall, lovely, and talented Michael Wagner for the music there and the drumming and all the cool stuff. I did a little singing and did a little keyboard squiggles to make that little jingle. So thanks, Mike, very much. And the topic I want to talk about today is going to be right up Mike's alley. So I'm glad we mentioned him here at the beginning. I am going to talk about a book written about the Beatles. And I know the Beatles is a band that Mike Wagner quite likes and has extensive knowledge about. The book I want to talk about specifically is by far the best book I've ever read about the band. And I did a quick Google search before starting recording and, just typed in the general, how many books have been written about the Beatles? And there's certainly no definitive answer, but most people agree that it's in the thousands at least, and perhaps even in the tens of thousands. But this is the best one I've ever read. And the book is written by an author named Ian MacDonald. It's called Revolution in the Head, The Beatles Records in the 60s. And what, to me, makes this book so fascinating is, as the title indicates, it doesn't just talk about the Beatles songs. It really brings in the social picture of the 1960s all over the world and what was happening, what was changing. And I'd like to quote from the opening page of the book that really kind of lays out the way the 60s are woven into the Beatles' music here. The 60s were special to an age range far broader than any period before or since. The spirit of the era that disseminated itself across generations, suffusing the Western world with a sense of rejuvenating freedom, comparable to the joy of being let out of school early on a sunny afternoon. Though ultimately the product of influences deeper than pop, the 60s soaring optimism was ideally expressed by it, and nowhere more perfectly than in the music of the Beatles. Certainly those years would have been similar in tone and direction had they not existed, yet so vital was the charge emitted by their music, and so vividly did it reflect and illuminate its time, that without it, the irreverently radiant 60s atmosphere, described by Liverpool poet Brian Patten as like a fizzy electrical storm, might hardly have sparked it all. So Ian lays out at the beginning of his book here that the Beatles were essential to what happened in the 60s. The music they created was essential to the atmosphere, the social change, all the things that happened. And as he says, reached much, much farther across than those were directly impacted and had their most vital life-changing moments during the 60s. Certainly for me, as someone who was born, 25 years beyond the mid-60s, I certainly feel a connection to that decade. This book is so cool to me because it's arranged in order by when the songs were started to be recorded in the studio. So it goes from the very, very beginning, song number one, which is Love Me Do, which was recorded in June and September of 1962, but it goes first because it was begun in June of 1962. And then you go all the way to the end of the book here. You get to the very end, song number 186, I, Me, Mine, which eventually came out on Let It Be, but was started on 3rd January 1970. So in those 8 years, 186 songs are covered in this book. And it the writing is fabulous. It's very, very vibrant and so insightful. And you learn not only about some of the things that were going on and how the 60s, as I said, impacted everything, but you also get little tidbits about the recording of the songs. And here, let me read to you the beginning of number 108 entry, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And you're going to get a listing of all the personnel, when the track was recorded, and then the UK release and the US release. And I quote, "Apart from the string overdubs on Within You, Without You, and the snippet of gibberish taped for the Runout Groove on 21st April, this was the last thing to be recorded for Sgt. Pepper, and something of an afterthought. The Beatles had been playing with running orders for the album and come up with a provisional solution for side one. The second side, though, needed something else. Neil Aspinall, the Beatles' factotum, suggested to McCartney that Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band be reprised in an abbreviated form to bookend the album and segue into A Day in the Life. Shortly afterwards, Lennon grinned sardonically as he walked past Aspinall, saying, "Nobody likes a smartass." That recalls Aspinall when I knew that John liked it and it would happen. And then he goes on to describe the recording of the track. But you get really cool little things like that, as well as analyses of the songs. And I love it because it opens up complexity of the 60s, but does it in a way that's very clear-headed and calm. And so as someone who wasn't there, who didn't experience it, you can go back and really find yourself in the moment and understand how things were changing day to day, week to week, month to month, and the pressure that was building not only on the Beatles as they became more successful, but all the people around them, and also the incredible ascendancy that they had is very vividly described. How hard they worked, how ragged they ran themselves, and yet what geniuses they were in the studio to be able to, under the weight of all this incredible pressure, attention and fame and excitement and money and everything that was swirling around them, they were able to focus and get out of all those things, those external influences. They were able to create this amazing art. And here I'd like to read to you again from the book on song 81, Rain, was recorded on 14th and 16th April 1966. And I quote, "Generally agreed to be the Beatles' finest B-side, Lennon's Rain expresses the vibrant lucidity of a benign LSD experience. However, the weather imagery would be banal were it solely metaphorical. What alters this is the track's sheer sonic presence, an attempt to convey the lustrous weight of the world as it can appear to those under the drug's influence. Lennon's Rain and Sun are physical phenomena experienced in a condition of heightened consciousness, the record portraying a state of mind in which one is peacefully at home in an integrated universe, as distinct from those who only see disparate elements to be manipulated or feared. As such, Rain is the first pop song to draw an us and them line between the children of Leary's psychedelic revolution and the supposedly unknowing materialism of the parental culture. Here, the post-war generation gap acquires a philosophical significance that would soon seize the imagination of Western youth." Just a little toe dip into, what Ian MacDonald is able to uncover in this fabulous, fabulous book. And it's also great to go back and listen to some of the songs after reading some of the entries here and some of the little things he points out in the arrangements. And some of the things that you may not have noticed in the song and some things you may like about the song, just to go back and see if he actually comments upon them. I mean, some of the songs I really love, MacDonald kind of slights them and says, this is kind of a throwaway that they did, or, you know, they were just messing around, or, this is a lightweight song and it doesn't really belong in the upper echelon of the Beatles. It also contains, this book, in the back, a chart that goes through every month of the 1960s and lists, number one, what the Beatles were doing. So here I'm looking at March 1965. Under column one, the Beatles, March 1 to 9, filming help, 14 to 20, filming help. In the U.S. on the 28th, the early Beatles was released. TV appearance on Thank Your Lucky Stars, recording help LP. And then column two is what's happening in UK pop. So you can see all the other things that were happening. The Rolling Stones released the Rolling Stones, number two. Kinks, Kinda Kinks came out. Another Side of Bob Dylan came out. Pretty Things came out. And then third column is current affairs. Civil rights protests in Selma, Alabama. Further protests follow. Martin Luther King leads 25,000 civil rights marchers in Montgomery, Alabama. And then culture. So books and people who were born. Sonny Boy Williamson happened to pass in March of 65. That's noted down here. And it's really a fascinating way to lay out what was happening in that time, how it may have influenced the Beatles. As many of you know, McCartney was an avid consumer of all kinds of media, and he loved to go to performances and plays, and they were all reading all kinds of different authors and things. And Harrison, with all his explorations into mystical things, obviously, and meditation and Hinduism and all these kind of things, it's really fascinating to read this, and it breaks the Beatles down in a way that no other book does. And it's not really a biography of the Beatles, but however, you get that sense when you're reading it. You can't help but get that sense when you're going through all this stuff. So I would strongly, strongly recommend this book. If you don't have it and you're a Beatles fan, it's fascinating reading. And it's also not one of those things that you have to sit down and read from start to finish. You can pick and choose. You can go in and read all about the White Album if you'd like. And I haven't read it in a while, but I pulled it off the shelf to read something about a song. And I'm finding all these highlights and check marks and passages that I've circled. So I've also used it like a textbook in my study of the Beatles and my learning about the Beatles. I learned a tremendous amount about the Beatles from this book. And my old friend Mark Jenkins was the person who recommended this book to me years back. So the first edition of this book came out in 1994, and then I think we're now up to the third edition. And it's available for a very reasonable price here on many of the booksellers that you find on the internet. And let's see, there's even a few quotes here. Mojo Magazine said, the finest piece of Fab's scholarship ever published. Newsweek, a brilliant electrical storm of a book. Nick Hornby, author of High Fidelity, a triumph, compelling, seductive, and delightful. I've worn out three crappies, says one reader here. And The Guardian, every little thing is a gem, and Ian MacDonald's mini essay collection about the songs of the Fab Four. That's a really good way to put it. Ian is no longer with us. He passed in 2003, but his book lives on. And I encourage everyone, as I said, who's a fan of the Fabs, fan of the Beatles, to go out and pick up a copy. It's really a wonderful book. Even if you are a Beatles scholar and you don't have it in your collection, you certainly need it. And man, looking at my copy, some of the pages are starting to come loose from the from the paperback binding. So I may have to pick up a new copy myself. But that'll do it for today's Book Nook. Once again, Revolution in the Head, The Beatles Records in the 60s, Ian MacDonald. Pick it up anywhere, add on the internet, and I think you're going to love it. I'll be back tomorrow with another short Book Nook to entertain you folks. I'm going to talk tomorrow about record guides, because recently was cleaning out a room, and we moved all my books that I had cluttered in different parts of the house and stuffed in boxes and closets into a separate room now where there are some bookshelves. And so I'm going to talk about all the record guides I pulled out and separated and put on their own place. And it should be fun. Hope you enjoyed this book nook to start the week. And please listen every day. If you have any thoughts on books on the Beatles that you'd like to share, I'd love to hear that. I'm always looking for a good suggestion. And if you have certain favorite books that you like, let me know. You can send us an email, rock@suburbspod.com. You can also find us on social media at suburbspod, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all those places. And feel free to reach out and let us know. It's always cool to hear another suggestion. And with as many books as there are on the Beatles, I don't think any of us will be running out of material if we want to keep going on our journey. So that's it for today. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow, and hope you listen every day.